You're listening to Seminars at Hadley. This seminar is Transition to College, presented by Sue Dalton and Lynn Sorge, moderated by Dawn Turco.
Let me welcome our presenters and participants alike. This is Dawn Turco at Hadley Central moderating today's seminar entitled College Bound, Are You Ready? We've got two presenters today. I'm thrilled to have them both joining us in the room. And joining us for the first time as a presenter is Susan Dalton, who is a transition specialist in Illinois. And those of us familiar with her work know what a great job she does in that regard. And I'm also going to welcome Lynn Sorge, who has many years of experience under her belt working with college students at Northern Illinois University. So for our self-introductions, I am going to hand the microphone over to Lynn to get us underway. So again, welcome everyone, and Susan and Lynn. Lynn, here's the microphone.
Welcome everyone. Dawn is correct in that if you're thinking, why is she here? She's a Hadley instructor. But before I began teaching at Hadley, I did service provision for persons with disabilities at Northern Illinois University for 20 and a half years. And then it was my choice to move when I became very intrigued and interested with what Hadley seemed to be offering. And so I changed careers after doing that kind of thing for a long time. So she's right. And before that, obviously, many moons ago, I was a college student who went through all of this. So hopefully the experiences that I have had on my own and with many, many students over 20 and a half years at Northern will help me to be able to share ideas and even some stories or examples. Sometimes I think they really hit home more than a list. So hopefully I can do a bit of each. And now it's all yours, Sue.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Morning, Dawn and Lynn, and welcome, friends. I come to you today as a director of TransVision, which is the state of Illinois' transition program for youth who are blind or visually impaired. It's sponsored by the Illinois Bureau of Blind Services. I'm also on the faculty at Northern Illinois University as an adjunct instructor, and I teach classes in the programs for visual disabilities there. And I guess the last thing that gives me some insight on this process, too, is I'm a parent of three adult children, but two of my children are visually impaired and have successfully made it through the college process as well. So I look forward to talking with everyone this morning.
Thanks, Lynn and Sue. Sue, I'm going to give the microphone back to you as we get our presentations underway today. I think we're getting started with considerations for high school students.
Okay. I guess just to start this off is, for students in high school, if you're starting to think about college, I think the main thing to think about is that you should be following the same steps as the other high school students. The important thing right now is that you are starting to take control and seeking out information that kind of fits in with your interests. And I just give a warning is just please don't think that everything will be taken care of you by your vision teachers and special educators. That's pretty much been the process while you're in high school. So now this is the time when you're in charge, and find out what the other kids are doing and make sure you're following along in the same pace that they are. And then a big part here is just to start early. If you're a junior in high school, you should be well on your way to thinking about what you want to do after high school. What jobs or careers or vocations are of interest to you? Think of what type of training or education will you need to get to these career interests that you might have. Where's the best school for you in that area? And think about now, too, that what teachers and counselors right now in high school will be best resources to you. Find out, too, about your high school's transition programs that lead to post-secondary education and to other community resources. And I think a big part, too, is once you do find out about community resources, Please don't limit your information to online. You might get details, but be sure to pick up the phone and call them. And visit these agencies, too, because there may be some hidden places, you know, in your community or locally that could be of help to you. Okay, and then I guess we'll turn it over to Lynn.
There we go. I want to tell you some of the things about college students and skills that you should come in armed with. The more you come in with, the easier college will be. So in this day and age, sitting at your computer right now, listening to us and sharing ideas with us today, technology is vital. Much more so even for many of us who are visually impaired or totally blind than even just folks with sight, because we can access textbooks and put them on little note takers or things like the BookSense or the Victor Reader Stream. You can put all your books on a little tiny SD card and they can be scanned in, but you need to know what your needs are. Don't wait for your vision teacher to tell you. Don't wait to get to college and let them tell you. You need to go in knowing as much technology as you can, doing as much of that sort of thing as you can in high school. When you're a junior and a senior, start figuring out, how am I going to get my books? How do I do it? So that you can be more independent in that area. Communication is vital. Sue said something that I want to reiterate. Call and visit whatever you're thinking about doing, whatever agency, whatever school. It's so important. You can make something look very good in a written commentary or on the internet, but it takes real one-to-one gut-level feelings of being in contact to get a better sense of things. Self-advocacy, I cannot stress this enough. In the 20 and a half years that I worked at Northern, I will tell you that over 50% of my students who came in for their first interviews with me couldn't tell me what was the cause of their vision loss. That sets up a signal to anybody they're working with or interviewing. I was told frequently, I don't know, I was born that way, or even worse than that, well, I don't know, but Mom does. You'll have to ask my mom. You need to know all you want to know about yourself, your needs, what your vision loss is so that others can help you better, and you need to be able to speak to it on your own without your mom. Another thing, practice. When you're in high school, don't let your vision teacher speak for you. Start speaking up for yourself. And going to those new teachers your senior year, telling them of your needs, telling them how you're going to be successful, how you're going to make it work. Organization. Everybody needs this. Sighted, blind, anyone, of course. But again, for us who are visually impaired, it's even more important. If you can't find what you need, nobody's going to be there to help you look for it. If you don't label your books, your notes, anything that you have, your incoming mail, nobody is going to be there to help you to do that. If you don't know which is your shampoo bottle and which is your rinse bottle, you're going to have to keep asking. You're going to look a lot more impressive if you're able to take care of any kind of organization you need on your own. Time management. At high school, you go to class at a prescribed time every day and much of the day. And then there's time during the evening for homework or whatever you need to do. In college, you have to determine what you do. You may have three classes, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, one at 9, one at noon, and one at 3. And you may have two classes, Tuesday, Thursday, one at 9:30 and one at 2. So it's up to you to set your alarm and get up on time. Plan your meals accordingly. Plan your homework. Get your work done. And get to those classes on your own. Then it's also up to you to determine when you're going to do your homework and make sure that you get it done on time. nobody from home or no vision teacher is going to be there to nudge you to keep doing that sort of thing. And in high school, I think a lot of people fall into the trap of, oh, you know, I don't need to worry about it. Mom will get me up. Or, well, you know, I'll work on that paper, oh, maybe a night before it's due. That probably isn't going to work as easily when you get to a more intensive level of college. So you need all those basics in order to help things feel more confident and to help you feel more capable when you walk into that first class.
Okay, this is Sue. Just a couple things I wanted to add to what Lynn said. When you talked about organizing and documentation, I think now if students are in high school, they should start developing their own organizational methods for documentation. There's some vital things you may need while you're in college to document your vision condition, any special services you might need. Also, phone numbers and that of services, like if you need to contact your counselor from the Division of Rehab Services. So make sure you have that handy as well. If you want to just make copies of things, so you have one copy at home with your family, but make sure that you as a student have your own personal records handy. And then one other thing, too, a skill I wanted to just also add was orientation and mobility. The feedback I've gotten often from current college students was that might be really a difficult area for many kids, and they may be doing okay academically and in other areas, but if they can't navigate the campus, they can't get to a store to buy things, they can't find their counselor on campus and things like that, it's going to make the experience very challenging. So as much as possible, get those skills ahead of time, work the summer before with the, you know, with an orientation mobility specialist on campus, but that's going to be very important as well. Okay, if I'll continue on, I guess the next topic that I'm going to address is goals, or our goals. And that's the thing is, I mean, you've got to have goals before you even head out the door. The important thing, too, is I realize there are teachers on the line here, too, and there may be parents, but the students, make sure these goals are your goals. They might coincide with the goals of your parents and teachers, but they may not. But it's important that these are your goals because you're the one that's going to have to do all the work. Goal setting isn't easy, too. It just doesn't happen. As a teenager, you don't automatically know what you want to do. So I suggest talking to your teachers and counselors in the high schools. Also, it's important to contact your Department of Rehabilitation Services counselor. Ask them questions about schools, training programs, and even job placement services in your area. Then think about, like, what do you want to study? What classes did you enjoy in high school? I think often, in the school system, they work on what you're not good at. So that's the area that sometimes special educators focus on. Well, you know, if you're falling behind in one area, well, let's work on that. Well, now you're going to college and you're going to be working, so think about what you're good at and work on those. What occupations interest you? Have you heard of any? If you're not really familiar with many, see if you can get out into the community to do some job shadowing and find out what people do or how things are made or things that are out there. And then check with your high school or college. They may have a career center or job center that you could check into if you need help with your goals as well. Also, speak to other visually impaired and blind classmates about their experiences in visiting and selecting colleges. You know, find out how they plan and access services on campus. Perhaps you can learn to do things, you know, to do and things not to do from these good friends that you might encounter. And I guess lastly, to end up on goals, is to make sure you're relating your goals to the real world. Be informed. Find out about what jobs are hot. You know, where are people hiring and where are they not? And even in your community, if that's where you want to live or wherever you want to live, find out what jobs are available. And then, you know, look at your skills and say, now is this a job that I can tackle and, you know, that meets my interests and my abilities. So those are all important considerations. And then lastly, once you kind of get your goals in order, we suggest visiting a local community college and well as other colleges and universities near your area. And I think Lynn's going to continue on that topic.
A visit is vital. If there is any way for you to spend a little bit more than just an hour or so at a campus, it's very important. You're going to be there for several years of your life. So firstly, try to find out if there is an office or some sort of area on campus that does services for persons with disabilities. Try to contact them and arrange a campus visit. And a campus visit may mean staying overnight in the dorm, going through the cafeteria, going to a couple of classes, chatting with other visually impaired students. If there are other students who are visually impaired, try to make sure you stay overnight with one of them. We did that a lot when I was at Northern. It really, really helped. When you are involved in your visit, you need to speak for yourself. It's fine that your parents come and drop you off or are there during the interviews. That's fine. But you need to speak up for yourself. I remember once I had a student and I asked if she was doing her own laundry and able to do things like make sandwiches and things like that. And one of her parents spoke up instead of allowing her to answer and said, I needed to understand that this young lady really needed to focus on her career goal and her academic needs, and so her mother did all of those things. Well, firstly, that interview went on in that kind of vein, and I finally had to gently say that I really would appreciate it if the student would speak and for herself. And also, even though your mom does those things when you're a senior in high school, you need to start to learn to do them. Because when you get to college, if you're gone for a month or so, mom isn't going to be there to wash your sheets and towels and clothing. She isn't going to be there to help you get a stain out of something. So think about all those things when you're planning that visit. And how prepared are you? Academically, are you comfortable? If you're not, maybe you could take even a course at Hadley to help enhance an area that you're a little shaky on right before you go off to college. Make sure that the academics you need, you have skills with and know how you're going to handle them socially. Social skills are tough. How do you assess, you know, who's in a room if it's great big and noisy, things like that. Are you comfortable speaking up for yourself, chatting with others, mingling with a group? Again, practice while you're in high school, and it's scary. It's one of the scarier parts of things. Are you going to make it socially in with the folks at college? Independence, as I spoke of just a little bit ago. Make sure that even while you are at home, you're starting to be independent so that it isn't such a huge break and jump when you go off to school. Even if you're living at home and going to community college, you still need to be the one in control of your life. Daily living skills. I can't stress this enough. You need to know good eating skills, how to carry a cafeteria tray, that kind of thing. Often on a campus, you can get into the cafeteria at a time when it's empty, before the whole big rush starts, and an O&M instructor or a service provider for persons with disabilities can go in there with you, and you can practice going through the line, see what's where, and in the times I worked at the university, many students had to learn how to carry a cafeteria tray. Little tiny tricks help. Don't carry two you know, a great big full glass of pop, carry two glasses three quarters full, and you won't tend to spill it. If you're worried about putting stuff on top of all your silverware that may slide all over your tray and you've got a pocket, put it in there, and then that's a little more space on your tray till you get to sit down. So living skills of all sorts. Make sure you know how to match your clothes. Things like that. You just go through your day. That's what I always used to say. Think about your day from the moment you get awake in the morning till you are in bed at night. And think, am I doing everything I need to do in that day on my own? Support services. It's not just the unit for persons with disabilities that are support. There are counseling centers, tutoring areas. Let's say you're really struggling in math. Then there are many math tutors. Getting yourself readers. Even going to talk to professors. Getting involved in other activities on campus so you're not totally all bogged down and just doing academic work and feeling a little like you just wish there was something else. There may even be support services right in a residence hall. Think about what you need. What kind of services do I need? What kind of things do I need to bring with me? What equipment? What do I need to ask my counselor, my DOORS counselor, to provide? Things like that. How can I take notes in class? Start in high school. I had a student come in to me, never having taken a single note. Actually, I had more than one like that. But never having taken a note, never having written a paper, or even done homework. I couldn't believe it. And when I asked how this was allowed to happen, I was told, well, the young man, the school was so happy and proud at his stuff he could do in his mind and his memory, and that he could get around the school independently, that they didn't want to burden him with other things such as homework and papers. Frankly, they burdened him terribly, because when he got to college, he hadn't been expected to do what others had been doing. And so his first year was a real struggle, because when you get into college, and actually long before then, you should be expected to do what others and your peers are doing. Check out what adapted equipment is on campus. That doesn't mean you don't need your own, but it means make sure the labs are accessible. What other things are there for students? How's the library? Is there a special librarian there to help out? A special room where there might be scanners and equipment you can use. Make sure you're comfortable using readers. Start in high school. Even if you say, well, I don't really need one very much, try it out. Make sure you're comfortable in how to do it. Same with exams. Start doing your exams on your own. Figure out a way to talk to your teachers. Figure out the best way to take them. Sometimes you might prefer Braille. Sometimes a CCTV. Sometimes a tape or access to one on a computer where you can just read down through it yourself. O&M training. Sue spoke of that a little bit. Again, I stress it. Make sure that each semester there is someone there that can help you to learn your class routes and other things you need. Come with your high school O&M instructor before you lose that service, if it's possible. If it's too far, obviously then it's not. But perhaps an O&M instructor in the area could be hired. And that would be helpful. Think about transportation needs. How are you going to get to and from home? How are you going to get around a great big campus? That kind of thing. Dog guides. Do you really want one? Do you really think about? Again, Hadley has an excellent course. Our instructor actually is here today. Patty is. And it talks about what are the pros and cons. As a college student, will you groom that dog? Will you make sure it behaves in the cafeteria? If it is ill and needs to, will you take it out at 3 a.m. if need be? that kind of thing. But in the snow, do I like it better than using a white cane? Probably. You know, but do I really want a dog? Do I like them? So put all of this into your what do I need to think about, what do I need to do? And think about what are your responsibilities. It isn't your teacher's responsibility to make sure of many of these things, but you need to step up and make it your responsibility. Take your own control. Also, you can get involved, as I said, with the Hadley School, even as a high school student. There is Bookshare, and we partner with Bookshare here at Hadley. So you can work with them. And even as a Hadley student, you get a free membership to Bookshare and can start to practice using it. Don't always just say, well, I'm okay now. You have to step out of that I'm okay now box and look forward to what's coming next. And now Dawn is going to open it up for Q&A and your thoughts and input.
Thank you, Lynn and Susan. We had some text messaging going on, mostly agreement with some of the points you were making. I haven't seen a question, so let me open the mic and see if there is something that somebody would like to pose. So here we go, folks.
I've asked a few people this, but what would you recommend as far as assistive technology to use in college? I know a lot about different kinds of technology. I'm just curious what you guys have seen other blind students use. So what kind of things would you recommend?
I'll have a go at that first, and then Sue has had, as she said, three folks already just on in her own family. So I stress it has to be your need, your desire. Some people like a laptop. Some people like Braille Note. Some people like a netbook, but you have to come up with what you're most comfortable to use and what works most efficiently for you. Another thing is, how do I mostly want to access my books? Will it be through your laptop? Will you have a little tiny handheld device like the BookSense or the Victor Reader Stream? And you know what? It'll change. Maybe your freshman year, something that's really cool isn't even out there yet, but by the time you're a junior, it will be. Also, think about personal things, such as, I need an alarm clock that I can use, not that mom sets for me. I need a way, as Sue said, to organize my phone numbers. Often, if you have a PDA or a cell phone that's accessible, that kind of thing, you can put them in there. But if you don't, make sure you have a way. I also stress you need, if you're a Braille reader, you need the ability to use hard copy Braille. To be able to use a Braille writer, a slate and stylus, you're not going to always have a computer or something at your fingertips, but you can carry a slate and stylus along with you everywhere you go. And if you need to take a quick note down, you can do that without any other way to do it. Cell phones, another thing. Make sure you have one. Make sure you can use it easily. And now you can even get GPS on it. So if you get yourself lost, often it might help you find your residence hall or whatever you're looking for. And now I'm sure Sue can add her list.
I feel you gave some good advice, Lynn. The one thing I guess too I wanted to stress is whatever works for you. And I think one thing that we do here is do a technology evaluation. In your senior year, early in your senior year, have someone from the Division of Rehab Services do a technology eval. And that is to find out, first of all, what you currently do use, what helps you. They may be able to recommend some other equipment that's available, have that done. And I guess, too, the most serious part I want to stress is that whatever technology you have or you're using, make sure you know how to use it well. And make sure you know how to troubleshoot if something goes wrong. Know how to deal with problems like that, because it may happen and you may be the only one on your campus that has that particular kind of software. So know how to troubleshoot. And then I guess The other thing I just would recommend, too, I know some students just have those tiny digital recorders in addition to, like, note takers and computers and readers and things like that. But just to have a little, the slate and stylus is available. But also if you just have these little digital recorders, too, for jotting down little verbal notes, that would be a helpful thing as well.
At what point do you recommend that people start applying for rehab services?
Okay, this is Sue. In Illinois recently, and I believe this is really something that should be similar throughout the country, before your junior year, you should be contacting a division of rehab services, blind division, counselor. They say that starting the process to open a case the summer before your junior year tends to give enough time to get the process, the very long labor process, started, but that should be a good time to start.
This is Dawn, and before I relay a question that came in text, I just wanted to add, kind of related to the technology question, we heard a lot about laptops and note takers and such. Probably one of my biggest regrets back in my college day is that I was not an adequate typist or keyboard person, and that skill is such a critical one, and I would strongly advise anybody who is not strong in their keyboard skills to try to acquire those skills before going off to college. And, of course, Hadley has a typing and keyboarding course, a brand new one. So look into that if you don't have access elsewhere or you just want to be able to do it flexibly like Hadley does. Having said that, we had a question about affording technology. How is it that you can afford the devices that you need? Advice regarding that, ladies.
You may not be able to. You may have to seek assistance to do it. And if you can't, then, as Sue was saying, you look at that technology evaluation that you're going to have your senior year, and they should be working with you on what financially you can cope with. This stuff is pricey. Technology for visually impaired and blind is very pricey. Area Alliance clubs, other community organizations, there are even grants that may help you. Scholarships can sometimes be used to purchase equipment. Just planning ahead, but it is very pricey, and you are probably going to need assistance to do it. Depending on how your rehab case falls, they may help you. But I want to reiterate what Sue said. You can't start early enough, and I'm very glad Patty asked that. So many times, my students would come in having just started to work with rehab, either the last couple of months of their senior year or that summer. And, of course, nothing was in place. So start early.
Ladies, before we get you underway again, I wanted to call on Ginger Irwin, who's with the participants today. Ginger is a certified orientation and mobility specialist who I know works with college students, and since there was some text messaging about the importance of O&M skills, Ginger, do you have anything you wanted to add to what was said earlier?
Hi, this is Ginger. Yes, I've worked often with people on campuses and getting them familiarized to campuses. But as an individual preparing themselves to go to college, I think it's important to talk with your current O&M instructor if you have one. If not, find someone that can work with you in teaching problem-solving skills, how to research areas and locations for route planning, those type of things. And I would also suggest that even if you're not able to go to the campus that you might be attending, if there's a local junior college in your area or another university, it's a good idea to practice there and get some feeling for the things that you're going to have to work on. Are there any questions or specific things that you're would like answered about O&M?
Yes, I have a question about O&M. This is Andrea. I'm wondering, with O&M, if you're taking an online class and they want you to maybe go to the campus a couple weeks out of the year or whatever to get your degree, is it a good idea to get a map from their website and have someone help you go over it?
Ginger, go ahead.
Okay. I was talking earlier, but somehow got bumped. Yes, you can access the campus from their maps, but also you can go online sometimes and get a virtual map or find out from them how to get a tactile map available. There's also a website called walkscore.com, walkscore.com, and if you type in the address, it will give you a map that is definitely interactive, and you can also then go down to street level and virtually tour every place and actually technically walk around campus to find some things. If you have some low vision, that's a good way to learn about some landmarks. Another question?
Seeing none, if you don't mind, ladies, let's pick up the presentation where you left off.
Before we get back to that, I want to add something, O&M, that sounds utterly off the wall, but it's not. When you learn your way to your classes, don't forget to learn your way to the restrooms in every building. I remember we always tried to work with that each time we had a new building in someone's class routes. But often people forget. And yes, of course you can ask. But it is also very, very handy if there doesn't have to be anybody around to know where they are. So wherever you're going to be hanging out, going to class, studying, make sure you not only know the rooms you need, but the restrooms as well.
Sue, I'll hand the mic over to you, and you can pick us up.
Okay. We talked about some things, you know, that you should be thinking about, but what do you do right now if you're a high school student or you're a teacher working with high school students? The main thing is to use high school wisely. This is a time you don't want to waste. First of all, it's free. You want to be able to access services that are there and make the best of it now. So if you're successful in high school, that's certainly a good indicator that you can be successful in college. I really encourage students to set high standards for participation in all of the high school classes. You know, remember the credit and course requirements are important for all students, especially if you're going to college. And you may want to consider, you know, taking a higher level course if you think you have the abilities for it, because that will certainly give you a better preparation for college classes. As we mentioned several times, just to become more independent, to seek assistance at school. College faculty indicate that this is one of the most important skills that any student can have. You know, you'll be much more responsible and having a role in obtaining supports in college, and many high school students are not prepared for this. Just to go over this again, being more independent in your personal needs and travel skills, know how to do this. Also know how to manage your money. Make sure you work with ATM machines. Make sure you know when you're out of money that you can't spend anymore and figure out how you have to get more money. So this is another important topic. Right now, if you are in high school, be sure that as a student you're taking an active role in all of your planning meetings. Certainly you're old enough to speak your needs, and instead of sitting around a table where all these adults are telling you what to do and how to do it, you can be running these meetings. Work with your teacher or counselor to find out, you know, how to run an IEP meeting, and you take charge and make it your meeting and make it addressing your needs. And by doing this too, you're going to be really learning to advocate for yourself, you know, in college. We mentioned previously too, begin planning for these supports as soon as possible. Junior year is definitely not too soon. Find out your counselors in your area. You can go online. Any state should have access to their Division of Rehabilitation Services or Vocational Rehabilitation. It's called something slightly different in every state, but certainly every state does have services, and you need to connect as early as possible. you mentioned too before, learn to use your technology well in high school, and you know, because that'll be a big draw for you. You know, have a kit of like emergency numbers, you know, of tech support numbers of people you know who use these devices that you can call for help. I know the Chicago Lighthouse has a really good hotline there where you can call in to ask questions about anything, but just make sure you know where to go for assistance. And, you know, right now, too, make sure you access and use all the services that your guidance department in high school has to offer. I mean, they're going to have college catalogs, financial aid applications, and other resources that are going to help you plan for college. And as I stated right at the beginning, just do all the things that are typical for students who are interested in college. Attend college fairs, visit campuses, meet with college representatives, you know, review college catalogs and things like that. So if you're doing this now and you're hearing all the things we're telling you you have to be prepared for, and so maybe there might be some of you who are thinking, well, I'm ready to graduate high school, but I'm not sure I'm ready. You know, I'm not quite prepared. You know, what are some options? And I think some things came up before, too. Certainly you can look at Hadley for some online courses that can help you, you know, get a heads up on certain things. Some schools have transitional living programs in their state. Some are associated with the Schools for the Blind. You can go for an extra year to just work on more of your independent living skills. And then also, you may want to stay in high school an additional year. It's not uncommon for students with visual impairments to stay an additional year just because things take longer. It's a lot of work, especially if you're, you know, working with Braille and materials like that. There's, you know, nothing wrong with staying an additional year to maybe take some more advanced courses, even take a community college class while you're in high school. That's something that could be an option. And this is also a time where you can work on more of your technology skills and mobility skills and not have to concentrate on, you know, on all the academics. And then there also might be adult rehabilitation centers in your state. In Illinois, there's a center in Chicago that you can go to once you're 18 and learn specific skills if you need to, you know, brush up on Braille or become faster in that, in reading and writing Braille, other technology and, once again, mobility and activities of daily living. And I guess one thing that I highly recommend is while you're in school to start volunteering. You know, if you don't have a job or can't get a job, see how you can volunteer in your community. Just, you know, for someone out of high school or who's just not sure what to do with their life either, a volunteer gig can really help, you know, you explore different jobs. You can solidify your likes and dislikes and also make some really important connections with people in the community that could, you know, be of assistance to you when you want to get a job.
Thank you. I think, actually, I'm going to hand it back to Lynn to pick us up.
Okay. We talk about different words of wisdom, and Sue had a great list here compiled by some of other college students, but that's something to check out. If you've got an older brother or sister or a cousin, and tap them. Say, what's college like? Sighted, visually impaired. There's also the Career Connect from American Foundation for the Blind, where you might really get to talk to somebody. Have questions in mind and say, like, I wasn't in the window, so I didn't see who asked this, but someone said, what technology would we recommend? That was a good question. Unfortunately, we can't give you a really standard answer, but we can say, check it out. Just like you said, I talked to several people about it. That's right. No one person is going to have all of the answers. So you just have to keep talking to anybody you possibly can and seek any information. Be strong about who you are. I have an example they often want you to take career placement tests if you're not sure. Or if you think you're sure, but perhaps your rehab counselor doesn't feel he or she agrees with you. When I was going off to college, I was told I needed to take this test. And I, at the time, as an undergrad, wanted to major in music. One of the questions on the test was, give your interest, and one was, which would you like to be more? A marching band director, a social worker, a truck driver, whatever. So, of course, I put social worker, because I probably, as a totally blind individual, would never want to direct the marching band. So, there was one question. Another question was, which would you like to do more? Be a vet, be a teacher, or be an opera singer? I have no desire to be an opera singer, so I marked be a teacher. There were two or three more questions like that, and my test came back with absolutely zero interest in music. When that happened, I needed to speak up and explain why I had done what I did and stand up for my rights and what I wanted to be. If you don't know, that's very different. But if you have a strong idea of what you want, no one can speak for you better than you. So speak up also if your needs aren't met. How many times would people come into my office when they were almost failing a class, never having talked about any need beforehand? I think sometimes they were afraid or, you know, just not wanting to admit, they just didn't know what to do. So make sure if anything doesn't feel right or comfortable, that you go get some help, whether from a tutor, a counselor, or somebody in your dorm, even a residence hall assistant. Back when I was at the university for a while, Ginger was one of our resident hall's assistants. And they can help you, or they can put you in contact with someone else who can. So think about all of that. There are plenty of resources out there. Also, think about financial aid, that dreadful thing that you have to, all your parents are probably cringing about and you don't want to deal with, but it has to be done. You need to fill out whatever forms are necessary. Your parents do. Don't put it off. There are deadlines. And if you don't meet them, you very well may lose out on aid that could help you. Speak to your professors about your needs. Don't expect them to come to you or decide or determine what your needs are. Let them know not only your needs, but yes, I'm here, I can cope, I can do this successfully. If they determine your needs and you're not comfortable, as in, I want you to take this test orally with me, when nobody else in the class has to do that, if you don't want to do that, you need to speak up to them and also to someone else at the school if speaking to them doesn't resolve the issue. So there are academic advisors, career counselors, and usually somebody working with services for persons with disabilities. I think our time is getting a bit toward its end, so I'm going to open this again to Dawn, and hopefully you all can come up with a few more ideas or questions that you'd like to share.
You are right. We are coming up on the hour in only about 5-7 minutes or so. So let's see if there are any other thoughts from participants before we add our final thoughts and a close to today's seminar. I am opening the mic.
Hi, this is Sue. I just had one thing to add here quickly. I think it's so important for current high school students to understand that there are no exemptions in college. Your assignments, your group work and tests, you're going to be held to the same standards as every other student. Professors are not obligated to change the academic integrity of their course. Certainly they'll accommodate materials, You know, allow for extended time if necessary. But know that if the rest of the students are required to do assignments, you'll be bound by those same requirements.
I'd like to add something to that. That doesn't always happen, and it is not always to your advantage to try to con them out of you getting to do something or not having to do something. Sometimes professors will feel, oh, well, you know, maybe he shouldn't have to do all this or all that. Yes, you need to be able to do what everyone else does, because when you get out of college, you will be expected to do what everyone else does. And so I have also had students say, well, but they should have maybe, like Sue was saying, they should have maybe let me not have to read so much. No, she's right. You should read and be expected to do what everyone else is doing.
Other questions or comments?
Yes, this is Andrea. I have one. Sue, I wasn't trying to cut you off there. I'm sorry. For more advanced math classes, it looks like Hadley has pre-algebra. But beyond that, how would I get a good education in math, because I am a Braille user, so I'm trying to refresh my math before I go off to college.
I can speak to the Hadley courses just a little bit. I don't know how soon you're heading off, but Hadley, you know, we've been approached about the difficulty in getting math courses and accessible materials, and we've got somebody who is designing courses for us who is an expert in this area. And we do have a new pre-algebra, and shortly, well, probably about a year after that, will be an algebra course to try and round off our own high school offerings. We have a number of people that come to us who don't use Nemeth, and of course that's not going to get you very far in the mathematics world, so we do offer the mathematics courses. Otherwise, I'm not quite sure if others have advice on where to go for help with mathematics.
I guess I'm on. This is Sue. My one suggestion would be, and I'd have to do this too, is to check with current college students or college graduates, because I know there are many who have successfully had to go through some higher level math courses. You know, I know working in high school with your vision teacher right now, but that might be the best one, best people to talk to right now, or even go like to American Foundation for the Blind site and check on there as well.
That's some good advice, actually, Sue, in regards to AFB. I would recommend, in part, going to their Career Connect site. They have people who are visually impaired in a lot of careers, but there are mathematicians, I believe, on that site as well. Plus, they have some other things I think that would be valuable to the folks here. So go to the AFB Career Connect site is my recommendation.
Some other things that you could do could be get yourself a good math book in Braille, even if you're not in a course, and perhaps you can find a volunteer tutor and get a print book that matches it and work your way through it to brush up on your math. When you get into college, if you know math is a weak point, which it certainly was for me, I could do many things, but math was not my strong point. So you should start out armed well. Get yourself a tutor right away. Go to the math department, go to your instructor, say, you know, I'd really like to work with a tutor. I'm a Braille user, and this is going to be a little more challenging for me. So do you have a tutor? And an excellent recommendation for tutors is someone majoring in teaching math. If you can get a second semester junior or first semester senior who is going into teaching high school math, they often make excellent tutors, because that's exactly what they're going to end up doing.
Assuming that you know Nemeth and you are a Braille user, The one thing you have to keep in mind is if the materials that you need are not already available in Braille, it's going to take some more time to get them, so you really, really, really have to start early and find out, if you know what college you're going to, what they have for people in your situation who might need remedial math, so that you can find out early if those books would be ready for you by the time you get there.
An excellent point, Linda. Thank you for making it before the end of today's seminar. Before I hand the microphone back to our presenters for a final thought, I just want to remind everyone on today, and I know there are several professionals in the room, that today's seminar is archived on the Hadley website probably in a couple days, maybe by Wednesday of next week. We will have this recording on our website available either to stream on your computer or for download. So if you thought today's information would be of value to those you know, feel free to recommend that they go to the website and catch up on the subject of the day at their leisure. Having said that, too, if we didn't get to your thought or question, you are welcome to email us at Hadley. The email box that you should use is called feedback@hadley.edu. Certainly, any questions that come in, we'll do our best to answer. And I do have access to Lynn and Susan after today, and I can pull them in on anything that you might want to query after we sign off. Having said that, let me hand this back over to our presenters, and we'll get ready to close out in just a moment.
Okay, just in closing, I encourage, you know, students to just really start thinking ahead, start thinking beyond the next week, and think to what kind of job you want, and see what you need to get there. And for teachers and professionals, as much as you can do, teach your students how to do things and try to back off from doing things for them.
I agree with Sue entirely. Sometimes we joke with each other when we're working with visually impaired students and say, you know, our dream goal, if we're working with kiddos or especially high schoolers, would be to put ourselves out of business, because they'd be so comfortable by the time they were a senior that they would be pretty much working on their own. So if you are a professional working with high schoolers, you're still helping by stepping back as much as you can. You're there in case you're needed. But if you step back, it's time for people to sort of start spreading their wings and working toward flying a little bit, as long as they've got a safety net. And you can be the safety net. For students in the room, believe in who you are. Stand tall and go with as much confidence and self-advocacy skill as you can. Practice whenever you need it, but think of who you are and believe in who that is and who you want to be. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Robert in Fort Worth, and I just want to say real quick in closing, whatever you guys do, young students, young people, please do not get frustrated and don't drop out of school.
Hi, this is Sue. That's great advice, and I think that's important, too, not to give up. You might have a tough time at first, but if you can persist, regroup, and try again. But good luck to everyone, and thank you.
I remember my first day of graduate school. I had done some of what we've just said to do. I came down. I learned the campus. I walked all my bus routes. I had everything, and feeling very confident. And the very first morning, with no notification, they changed the bus routes. And, of course, I was in a real pickle. So, you know, I knew the area, as Ginger had said earlier. I learned pretty much the area and the streets and things like that. But those things are going to happen. And you may get frustrated and you may get discouraged. So remember that that happens to everyone, and that if it does, try to have friends you can call, you can email, and if not, seek a counselor, but don't give up. Keep trying. And usually the hurdles, you can get over them and move onward toward getting the success you're hoping to do. Take care, everyone.
Thank you, Sue and Lynn, for today's presentation, and Robert for reminding us to not give up. What a great way to end today's seminar. Thank you all for taking time this morning or in some time zones of this afternoon, and we thank you for your participation, and again, ladies, thank you. I'll say goodbye to all and hope to see you at a future seminar. Bye-bye.